Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the reward of a prophet. And whoever receives a righteous man because he's righteous will receive the reward of a righteous man. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to the 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, Jesus gave us one of his most important parables of all, about how to receive everything that he gives us, including his word, on good soil, and to bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. That's always a prism with which to look at any reading of sacred scripture. But it's particularly important for us to grasp what was happening in today's readings. The Israelites, to whom God had sent the prophet Isaiah, were not bearing fruit from anything God had taught. And God had had it. And we see what God says to the prophet Isaiah. He has them call them princes of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah, the two most notorious towns in history, because when two of God's angels went there to visit Lot, instead of being welcomed with gratitude, they tried to convene in order to molest him. And Isaiah was basically saying to the people of his time, for God, "You're treating God the exact same way." God starts to say, "I don't care about how many sacrifices you make, how many burnt rams, how many calves, lambs, and goats you sacrifice to me. I don't find pleasure in that. You're trampling my courts. I don't care how many assemblies you call, how many octaves, how many festivals, how often you spread out your hands, and the more you pray." And the reason is because they weren't bearing any fruit from what God had said. He said, "Your hands are full of blood." In responsorial psalm, God would give us more of the way we can turn our back on the Lord. "When you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, while at the same time you hate discipline, you're casting my words behind you. You're not bearing fruit from what I've said." God wants us to bear a particular fruit. This fruit that he was asking was all throughout the Mosaic Law. God had given it to all the Jews through Moses, before Moses died. But they weren't acting on it. That's why God called him to conversion. "Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds before my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good." And here's the good that he was specifically asking for. "Make your aim real justice, righteousness between you and God and you and others. Redress the wronged. Stick up for those who have been victimized," in other words. "Hear the plea of the orphan and defend the widow." Those are so loud in the Mosaic Law. And while they were burning more and more animals, while they were raising their hands in prayer, these things weren't being done. And that's why Isaiah was sent to them. Rather than caring for the widow, the orphan, the wronged, and those who had suffered injustice, they were behaving like those in Sodom and Gomorrah. In the Gospel today, Jesus likewise wants us to bear good fruit. of the most important thing God ever said? What is the most important thing God ever said? The single greatest commandment ever is what? Love the Lord your God with 100% of your mind, heart, soul, and strength, with all you've got. And what was Jesus saying to the apostles? He was trying to make them aware of the thorns that would choke the growth of the seed. We talked about what those thorns were. Worldly cares, anxieties, lure of material wealth or pleasure. And so Jesus was going to cut right to the core to see if they're really loving God with all their mind, heart, soul, and strength. So where does he start? Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus had already been revealing clearly that he was sent by God, but they were beginning to figure out that he actually was God. So Jesus being very clear, if you love anyone else more than me, you're not worthy of me. He's not saying don't love your family members. He wants us to love our family members, just like he loves us, but not above the Lord. God's got to come first. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Unfortunately, there are a whole bunch of people who put family above God. I've never, you know, there have been a few things in my life that I just wasn't prepared for as a priest. Most I was prepared for very well. One is when priests come to me and say, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 55 years since my last confession. Here are my sins." I wasn't ready for that. I was also not ready for the amount of people who come and say, "Father, I missed Mass on Christmas." "Why'd you miss Mass on Christmas?" "Well, I had to clean up the house and prepare a Christmas meal." Good things that they were doing. But sins, because they were putting that in front of God. So Jesus at the beginning today says, "Don't think I've come to bring peace upon the earth." He is the Prince of Peace. But the peace that he gives is not the peace as the world gives. "I've come to bring not peace but the sword. For I've come to set family members against each other. Mother against man against his father, daughter against his mother." You heard the rest of the parts of the gospel. That's not because Jesus wants to divide us from our family members. But as soon as a family member puts God first, the other members of the family who don't really want God to be first get jealous. It's just a command that you see everywhere. That sometimes people want to have some relationship with God, but when somebody really begins to love them with 100% of their mind, heart, soul, and strength, the others start to resent it. Why are you constantly praying? Why are you going to daily Mass? Why are you getting involved in St. Vincent de Paul? We've got to keep things in proper balance. The first duty that God gives a family member after the loving of the Lord with all we've got is to care for them. But a lot of the times, our family members want more. And so we've got to be willing to pay that price. Jesus says, if it comes down to a choice between your family members and me, and you choose your family members, you're not worthy of me. Now, I've had to have some of these difficult conversations with those who are in their third or fourth or fifth or sixth marriage outside of the church, where they want to be able to come back to the faith, and I want to help them. But when push comes to shove, what we're really dealing with is, do you love God more, or do you love your third husband or fourth wife more than you love God? And if you really love your spouse outside of the church, then you're going to want them to receive the gift of God. But we need to recognize what Jesus is saying. He's got to come first. Jesus goes on, as if that isn't hard enough, Jesus says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me isn't worthy of me. If we're going to love God with all we've got, then we're going to be willing to die for him who died out of love for us. We're going to follow him all the way, losing our life in order to be able to save it in him, through him, and with him. Big challenge, but the Lord will give us the strength in order to be able to do it. Today, we see someone who met that challenge against all human logic. St. Kateri Tekakwitha was born in Auriesville, New York, as an orphan. When she was just a little girl, the smallpox epidemic hit that village, decimating it. It took the life of her mother and her father and her brother. She herself bore the lesions of smallpox her entire life until after she died, they were miraculously taken away. She was very touched by the black robes, the term the Indians used to use to describe the Jesuit missionaries who had come to Auriesville to preach. 9 years before she was born, right there in Auriesville, two of the North American martyrs were killed, saturating that land with their blood. And we know that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of Christians, and it gave rise to this beautiful Lily of the Mohawks. She was a teenager. She very much wanted to grow in faith, but the Jesuits were very strict in terms of receiving instruction and making sure you were ready, because they knew that there would be lots of challenges to the faith as soon as an Indian became a Christian. She was being raised by her uncle, who was the chief of the Turtle tribe, and by two of her aunts, none of whom was Christian and all of whom were opposed to the faith. So they didn't want her to do anything in terms of the instruction. And in order to draw her away from the Christians, they wanted to marry her off to some Indian somewhere else so that she would get out from under the influence of the Jesuits. But she persevered. And eventually at 19, she was baptized, to the outrage of her family members. So she had to escape from where she was because they thought that they would kill her. She really did love God more than she loved her family, more than she loved her tribe. You don't have to know all that much about American Indians to realize how important family and tribe are. But off she went to Kanawaka, which is just south of Montreal. There, for the last 5 years of her life, she sought to love God with all that she had, truly to bear fruit in acts of love for Him and others. She lived a life of great prayer. It's very moving to me, who hates the cold, that she loved the Lord Jesus so much that even though the church was being opened at 4 o'clock in the morning in that local village, she was out there at about 2:30, kneeling in the snow, adoring the Lord until the door would be opened. And then when the door would be opened, she'd stay there, worshiping the Lord throughout the day, only leaving after the last Mass had been celebrated. She would leave, she would go to care, literally, for those who had been orphaned, care for the widows, care for the poor, care for pregnant women who needed some help, really putting into practice what the Lord Himself calls us all to do. When she would sleep, she was sleeping mortified in reparation for the sins of her nation, reparation for the sins that she had witnessed, and in supplication that her people would truly come to the faith. How was she mortifying herself when she was sleeping? She lay down on her bed, thorns throughout, so that she'd sleep on those thorns. It was very painful, but she wanted to do it out of love for the Lord, lest she ever have her own seed of faith choked by those thorns, or anybody else's choked by thorns. She was eventually called home after only 5 years as a Catholic, suffering tremendously until the end, but suffering with great faith. She was the one who loved the Lord above family. She loved the Lord enough to take up her cross each day and follow Him. She was one who was able to lose her life in the Lord in order to gain it. She was one who, unlike the people of Isaiah's time, really did learn how to do good and did it. She made justice her aim. She redressed the wrong she saw. She really heard the pleas of the orphans and the widows. She never turned her back on the Lord's words or hated discipline. This was her entire life. As we pray at the end of the responsorial psalm today, to the one who goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God. She went that right way, and now she sees that salvation. And from that place, she prays for us, that we might follow her example of putting the Lord first above every other thing, receiving the strength to do so from the very same source she adored and received each morning.